This is the 2020 UNC preseason special. Now, here's Brady Hull and Jason Alvin.
5 minutes after the 3 o'clock hour. Welcome, welcome. This is the first edition, first installment, however you want to say that, of the UNC men's basketball preseason special presented by First Advantage, a huge supporter of all things UNC sports. Love having them involved. We'll try to get one of the Kincaids on the program at some point in time, but I am absolutely thrilled to have the voice of the UNC Bears, Jason Alvin, joining me in studio. Man, it's great to catch up with you as always. I cannot wait till we get to hear you broadcast some UNC basketball.
I can't wait either. It's been a long time since March. I was fortunate enough to get out on Friday night, do some high school football on Friday night.
Yes.
It was good to get back out there and get the pipes warmed up, ready to go for the upcoming season. But man, it's exciting. It's been great to be over watching practice, being in a gym, just the sounds, the shoes squeaking, the basketballs dribbling, whistles blowing. They're using the little handheld whistles this time around, since they have the masks. They can't use the traditional whistles,
that.
So you're hearing a little bit of the difference in sounds. But man, it's been good to be back in the gym and just being around.
Yeah, and Jason will talk a little bit, because I know you've been catching some practice too with Coach Smiley, and we'll get into some of that and you get your initial thoughts, and I want to break into this roster. You had some great conversations that we'll play back for you later today. But a little bit about your background. You're no stranger to the Big Sky Conference.
No, I'm a little bit of a veteran. I've been, I guess, since 2009. 2010 was my first year here in Greeley doing UNC Women's Hoops. Did that for 6 years, I believe. 6 years there, and then went off to Idaho State and got my master's there, did a GA more on the coaching side of things, athletic administration master's, and then ended up in Montana State with 4 years in a dual role there with the radio and the director of operations role. So it's been busy. I've been on the women's side of things. So you know, the unfortunate thing with the way the Big Sky schedule sets out, you don't get an opportunity to see a ton of the Big Sky schedule. You'll be able to catch, the Montana State game was always after the women's game, so I was always able to catch that game. So Montana and Montana State are pretty familiar to me. And then you're able to every now and again catch another game when you could, when you had that single game. But for the most part, it's nice to be back on this side of things, being able to catch some of the men's action. I mean, it's such a good league. There's so many good players, so many good coaches. The thing about that, for me, that's interesting is how much talent was lost from a season ago. You look at it, 9 of the top 10 scorers in the league are gone. You look at what UNC has to replace, 3-time defensive player of the year and Jonah Radabaugh, a consensus first team all-conference player, but Trent Harris as well, who led the league in three-point shooting. But there's just so many guys from this league that are no longer here. Jarek Hardy led the league in scoring. Holland Woods is down at Arizona State now as a grad transfer, immediate eligible. So it's a fun league. It's great to be back and be on this side of things.
Yeah, what'll be interesting too, Jason, I'm glad you brought that up too, replacing star players. I mean, every team has to go through it, but for UNC, especially the last 4 years, it seems like they're replacing a star player every single year. You mentioned Jonah Radabaugh. The year before that, it was Jordan Davis. The year before that, it was Andre Spite. So we continue to do that. The difference this year is UNC is also replacing their head coach. Steve Smiley takes over. No stranger to this program. He was right underneath Jeff Linder as this program continued to grow. So I suppose if you were ever to feel confident about a coaching change, this would be it. Of course, Jeff Linder over at the University of Wyoming, they're expecting to be on the improve in the Mountain West Conference, but this will be a lot of new things, at least for UNC, as far as just replacing the head man at top.
Well, absolutely, but I think the thing that I've gotten and the vibe that I've gained from a lot of the conversations with Bodie Hume and Sam Masson is the continuity that Coach Smiley brings, because he has been here for 4 years. Yeah, he's going to bring some different things than Coach Linder did, but for the most part, a lot of the messages are the same, and you're able to plug and play, and it's a voice that they've been able to hear. It's a guy that they've broken down film with for the past 4 years, so they're comfortable with Coach Smiley and what his message is preaching. So, like you said, I don't think there's going to be a big drop-off, and it helps Coach Smiley when you've got three guys that started all 31 games in your lineup coming back this year, plus Sam Masson, who started 13 of 24, you've got a lot of guys with starting experience. And so I think Coach Smiley's got to feel confident. You bring back a potential Big Sky Player of the Year candidate in Bodie Hume.
Yeah.
He's going to be one of those guys that's looked at. There's probably three or four other guys at the top of that list. Jacob Davison up in Eastern Washington, maybe the odds-on favorite to win that award. But a lot of firepower from this league gone, and Coach Smiley is going to come back and, again, have to replace some of that as well, as you mentioned.
Bodie's such a fun player to watch. A little-known fact about Bodie, he was our Preps Player of the Year about 4 years ago or so. Voted on from Sterling. It was a player vote, or it was a fan vote, and enough people from Sterling got into the mix to vote for Bodie Hume. Bodie is a sensational guy. He's a wonderful athlete. This will be the test for him, right? He's always kind of been the Robin, and now can he step up and be Batman? I know I'm going to nerd out a little bit once, so I have to do it. But that will be the interesting thing here. I fully expect him to. But it's not always that easy. I mean, like I said, Andre Spieth and Jordan Davis and Jonah Radabaugh, those guys just kept stepping up into those roles. That will be the next test for Bodie Hume in his career.
Well, and I think you're right, but I think Bodie has probably learned a lot from being around and watching how Jordan Davis handled himself in that role and how Jonah Radabaugh went from being Robin to being Batman last year and seeing how he handled that transition. And I think he's worked on it. He's put on some weight here this offseason. He's bulked up a little bit, and so he can handle the rigors of the versatility of his game, because he's not just a guy that can step out and hit the three, which he can do, but he's going to be able to take advantage of mismatches too, because there's going to be a lot of times where he's going to get a smaller guard on him. They're going to have to get him down in the post and really be able to use his 6'6 frame to really exploit his entire package that he can bring. So I'm interested to see. I chatted with him a little bit about kind of that question about how do you step up, knowing now that, hey, late game scenarios are probably going to be called for you now instead of Jordan Davis. And he says, you know what, I stay ready. I spend my time in the gym. I'm there. If my number is called, I'm ready. But if my teammate's number is called, they're going to take care of business too. So I think he's got a very good head on his shoulder. He's really embraced kind of this team and his leadership role on this team.
So you went to practice. You've been going to practice on and off. I'm going to try to get out there on Friday to check out the team. But I'm just asking this. I'm looking at the roster pictures here. Does it look like Bodie's beefed up a little bit? Because, again, he's listed as 6'6", 190. Just his pictures, roster picture alone, Jason, does it look like he's beefed up a bit?
Yeah, he's put on some weight, and he's self-admitted. Coach Smiley's talked about his work in the weight room. He had a little bit of an injury this offseason, so he couldn't really do a ton of stuff basketball-wise, so he spent a lot of that time in the weight room, bulking up and different things. So, yeah, he's put on some weight, and it's good weight. He's lean, he's strong, and he's not the only one on this team. I think Jamel Melvin is a guy that we'll get into a little bit later. He's a freshman, but since he's gotten on campus, he's put on about 15, 20 pounds of muscle, and he's a guy that Coach Smiley's really excited about. And really, when I was at practice on Saturday, I mean, he had a really good burst during the 5-on-5 live stuff that we saw. So the guys have taken the offseason training seriously. They're ready to go. They understand kind of what was taken away from them after in March, the opportunity to get out there and win a Big Sky title. And there's some unfinished business, I think, for this team that they all have in the back of their mind. Hey, we were primed and ready to go in March, and then all of a sudden, poof. So I think these guys, not only do they want to do it for themselves, but I think they really want to do it for the guys that didn't get that opportunity last year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, last year, I remember one of the last games, perhaps, that I certainly attended and watched in person was UNC in Eastern Washington. That was a great game. Eastern Washington pulls it off, but there was still a sense of, I think if UNC gets another shot at this team, they could do it. And, of course, we were all waiting for that opportunity in the tournament. Didn't get to that point. Some conferences got to a few games. Some conferences finished, like the Mountain West Conference. But, unfortunately, we didn't get to see that finish with the Big Sky. So, I know the Bears are chomping at the bit. Bodie Hume's the guy we talk about a lot. But the guards on this team, Jason, I'm very curious to see how Coach Smiley's going to utilize these guys. The depth chart there is great because Sam Mastin's already a stud. You mentioned a young guy coming in, Jamel Melvin. Matt Johnson's a guy we're expecting big things from. But how about Dalen Kuntz, the transfer from CU, and another guard-populated area? I talked to Tad Boyle a few months back about that transition. He had nothing but great things to say about Dalen. It was more of the fact that, hey, we have a lot of guards. Every time he was put in, maybe he pressed a little too much, trying to earn his keep, so to speak. Now he's kind of got the freedom, maybe a little bit less pressure on him to try to achieve his goals.
Well, I think you're absolutely correct there, because he is a guy that when you go to CU, you're a hometown kid, Denver East High School, there is a lot of pressure to go down there and represent, especially because, we've seen guys homegrown that have been able to go down there and do it. You date back and you go down to Chauncey Billups, a guy that from George Washington High School and made that transition, did it at CU. There is a little bit of maybe it's added weight on his shoulders that he needs to go in there and be Chauncey Billups because that's what everybody's expecting from, from the outside. And now he can come here and he can fill in. And he has got really, really good guards surrounding him. He is pushed every day in practice. Greg Bowie had a huge, huge practice on Saturday when I was there. And I mean, he looks ready to go. You mentioned Matt Johnson. He is a guy that I think might step up into that role where he's going to be the three-point sniper that the teams are going to be looking for because he shot really, really well, 44% a season ago. Trayshawn Smoots, another guy. I made the comment to Coach Smiley yesterday. I said, you got 8 or 9 guys that could be in the starting lineup.
Sure.
And so that's never a bad thing to have, but when you're it's going to be like the Vinny Microwave Johnson aspect. Whoever gets hot, you're going to have to probably ride that hot hand because, I mean, there is so much depth in that guard lineup.
Yeah, no, that's going to be a lot of fun to see how this progresses. When we come back, of course, you caught up with Coach Smiley. You caught up with Dalen Kuntz, who I think is going to be a sensational interview. I'm looking forward to that. We'll get to those. But I also want to ask you, I know new to the Bears scene again from where you were, Jason, obviously you have a history with the Bears, but how different is Coach Smiley going to be from Jeff Lender? What are their strengths there? What are the differences? And I want to get into that when we come back a little bit. You know, maybe we expect more of the same, which I don't think Bears fans would complain. This is the UNC Men's Basketball Preseason Special presented by First Advantage. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Patrick, The Hull Show, and Colin Cowherd are on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to this special edition here. Again, remember, every Monday we're going to be having the UNC Men's Basketball Preseason Special presented by First Advantage. We'll go 3 to 4 every single Monday, a weekly look at the Bears. Now, the idea of keeping this weekly, Jason, I know we had originally talked about doing it for one full week leading up to the season and just go bam, bam, bam throughout the week. But with so many updates going on in this COVID-19 world, we want to be able to have updates on that schedule because my guess is whatever we say this week might change next week.
When I was finishing up in Montana State, we were always trying to plan and do things. And it just got to the point where it's like you couldn't plan for anything because one day you were given the green light to do something. 2 days later, you were rained back, and then you were started and stopped. And I mean, and this UNC team, they didn't get any time in the gym in the summer, any of the workouts that they normally do. You know, you're allowed 8 hours during the summer for 8 weeks for basketball. They didn't get any of that this year because of the starts and the stops. And so, yeah, there is a million question marks, and we can sit here and talk about the schedule and how it's broken down right now, but that could be up for changing again.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think the Big Sky has done a tremendous job to get to this point. They put the 20 games back on the schedule.
Sure.
Originally, it was going to be just a 16-game schedule. You lose 4, but then they put the 20 back on there. You get the full round robin. You're going to be able to face everybody twice. It is going to be interesting. The plan is to play the teams at or here on either Thursday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday. So it all just depends. Like, you're going to play them back-to-back, how that affects scouting reports, how that affects what you do the first game versus the second game, how you're able to so quickly turn around and do that is going to be interesting. But at the same time, I think it helps prep you for the Big Sky Tournament because that's what you have to do at the Big Sky Tournament.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to turn around and play games quickly. Now, again, you're not playing the same opponent.
Sure.
But you've got to, you know, you play Thursday night at 8 o'clock. Well, Friday, semifinal game, you're at 7 o'clock. You got to figure out how to get the scouting report in and all that.
And adjustments and adjusting to the adjustments, right?
Right.
And it'll be like a mini NBA playoffs type deal where you're playing the same team twice. So, yeah. So looking again, according to UNCBears.com, they have that official, well, or official or unofficial, however you want to say that, conference schedule starting December 22nd. Now, that's a Tuesday against Idaho State, and then it's listed as December 23rd, Wednesday against Idaho State. But as we know, that could be subject to change. But as you mentioned, as of right now, it's going to look like you're either playing the teams back-to-back or maybe even within the weekend. Because, for example, Montana, they have it listed as December 31st on a Thursday to play the next game January 2nd on Saturday. So within a three-day period there. But I'm curious to see if that changes, if they might condense that even more so, where it's every single opponent will just be back-to-back.
Well, absolutely. And then you look at it, there's the one quirk in the schedule later in January where Northern Arizona, you play down there on a Thursday, then you come back here and play in Greeley. So it's the same opponent, but you are taking the risk of traveling to play that opponent here in Greeley. So, again, I've got to tip my cap to the guys and the gals over at the Big Sky Conference because, you know, with seeing how everything has gone, you know, football-wise and a lot of the big conferences and cancellations and testing and everything else and how it's just kind of been it's been a wild season. There's no question. Big Ten gets started up. Nebraska plays Ohio State, and then they get their second week canceled against Wisconsin. So I think the Big Sky has done a great job in taking the proper precautions to have the best interest of the athletes in mind when trying to put this schedule together. They were cautious, and it looks like after I can't imagine how many drafts of this thing were run through there. They've done a great job to get it where it is. And again, you're going to have to wait and see, and you're going to have to, you know, if you get 16 of these 20 games in, I think that's probably pretty good because maybe at some point one state's regulations in dealing with COVID-19 are going to be different than Colorado's. And so if you have to go out and play Sacramento State in Sacramento and something's different out there, they might not be able to get out of the state. You might not be able to go in. It's all going to be kind of a hide and watch and wait and see sort of mentality. But I, again, a tip of the cap to the Big Sky Conference here for being able to put this together. And I mean, we're 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
We're 3 weeks away from this season tipping off and couldn't be more excited about it.
Yeah. And folks, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the UNC Men's Basketball preseason special. We're doing this program every single Monday leading up to. And again, that's the big question on everybody's mind. Okay, we have the conference schedule for now, at least, starting December 22nd. What does that non-conference schedule look like? There's a lot of rumors swirling around that it might be more of a in-state or close proximity type situation, which, got to be honest with you, Jason, if this is the way it goes, I want to see something like this every single year where it's CU, CSU, UNC, DU. Let's get Wyoming down here. I know Coach Linder, I talked to him not long ago. And he said it might be too fresh to play the Bears right now. I might get ran out of town or something, but I would love to see that. And we come up with our own trophy every single year. The best winning percentage gets the trophy.
Well, absolutely. And I think, you know, it would give all of these teams and the kids on those teams, you know, the bragging rights. There's a little bit of hey, guess what? We knocked you off.
There is a lot of that.
And especially when it comes to in-state recruiting, all these schools are trying to grab the top talent in Colorado. And for those guys to go in there and be able to knock off CU, you look at this UNC roster, you look at the guys that they have, Bodie Hume, Sam Mastin, Players of the Year from the Colorado, Daylon Koontz, Player of the Year from the state of Colorado. If they were to go in there and beat CSU and beat CU and DU, like, think of the bragging rights that those guys would have and think of just the excitement that would be around the state of Colorado. Because, I mean, Brady, how much hype gets led up to the Rocky Mountain Showdown when CU and CSU are playing in football?
Yeah.
There's a huge amount, and especially because a lot of times it's been billed as kind of, you know, CU the big brother, CSU the little brother, and all of the things that go in with that. But when CSU gets that win, and there was a good stretch there where they were winning 4 out of 5, 4 out of 6
sure.
games against CU and had their number, I mean, it was great for the state of Colorado. Absolutely great for sports here in Colorado. So I think if you were able to put together some sort of tournament like that, as you mentioned, if somebody goes 3-1, 4-1 in that, and they get the trophy, man, it'd be so fun to watch.
Well, and there's so many connections too. I mean, now UNC is like extending this tree. Tad Boyle got to start at UNC, right? Or, you know, he obviously made a huge name for himself at UNC. Then you see Jeff Linder now with Wyoming. We'll see what he can do. And obviously Steve Smiley, I think a lot of folks are very excited to see what he can provide here. So you've got all these connections that I think adds a little bit more to the rivalry. And I think it'd be a lot of fun. All right, it's 28 minutes after the hour. I want to jump over to, you had a chance to catch up with Coach Steve Smiley. And my big question, again, we kind of know what Jeff Linder's strength, one of the big things he was all about was, you know, defending the three, shooting the three, and that was a big emphasis, and you saw it in how he recruits and how he builds his team. I'm curious to see about Coach Smiley, but you had a chance to catch up with him over the weekend, so that'll be fun. Let's jump over to that.
Coach, some good work today here at practice. I thought a lot of balance between fundamental basketball and getting up and down the floor and letting these guys play and seeing what you've got.
Yeah, especially Saturdays, we try to get you know, we always get up and down. We believe in doing a lot of five-on-five and, you know, dual teaching. It's not an offensive drill or defensive drill. It's dual purpose. But on Saturdays especially, like right now, one thing we can't do, we're not allowed to do exhibitions or scrimmages with other teams. And so you've got to get within your practice a lot of five-on-five where you can get the situations in so that when we get to our first game that we're not shocked by anything. But, yeah, we always are going to start with the fundamental base. We're always going to get a lot of skill work, a lot of shots in. But Saturdays are fun for the guys because they know they get to play a lot.
You look at your depth, especially the guard and the wing depth. I'm looking up and down the roster, and you've got 8-9 guys that are vying for 3 or 4 positions in your offense. You've got to love what you're seeing here in the early portion of the schedule with your guard depth.
Yeah, we have a lot of depth. I mean, I think all the way through. You know, it's also a challenge where when the minutes really get doled out, like we'll do a deal where we're kind of test the guys off record and say, okay, well, how many minutes do you think you're going to play? So someone might say 25, someone 30, 12, 40, whatever. Well, you got 16 guys, and when you add all those up, there's only 200 minutes in a game, right? There's 40 minutes, and there's 5 guys on the court. So you hope it says about 200. It usually says 400, 500, because in their minds, they're all playing 25, 30. And the reality is, like you said, you know, there's 8 or 9 guys vying for, you know, 3, 4, 5 spots. But that's what breeds competition. And I think, too, we really stress to our guys, you got to be ready when your number's called. You know, we've had guys that have had, you know, minor injuries and things like that. And before those guys getting hurt, it's like, well, I might just be so far down the depth chart. And then all of a sudden someone gets hurt or they get sick or whatever. It's like, oh, are you ready to go? Because your number's now been called.
And you just mentioned that the unpredictable, the injuries, the COVID-19, if somebody has to quarantine.
Right.
But I saw some guys that really stood out today. I thought Greg Bowie II had a tremendous practice, great first step, able to get into the paint,
yeah,
create for his teammates. But I thought Jamel Melvin as well stood out with a good practice. He was able in a lot of that five-on-five to get some things going for you early down in the post.
Yeah, no, you know, both those guys being new guys. Now, Greg was here last year as a sit-out guy, so he knows a little bit more, knows the system. He knows the standard, the expectations. But I thought Greg had a really good practice, too. The big thing for Greg is saying it doesn't all have to be based on are you making shots, because he is a guy who can make shots, he can score. But when you're not making shots, what else are you bringing in terms of, you know, defensive presence, energy? Are you vocal? Are you communicating? But I thought Greg had a really good practice. And then you're right, Jamel, I mean, he just keeps getting better and better. You know, he's put on 20-plus pounds already over the past 7, 8, 9 weeks, and he's just picking things up so quick. And so I've been very happy with Jamel, and then Theo Hughes as well. Those two young freshman bigs, they're competing every day. And for them to go up against Kaur Jakuch every day, they've got to bring it, because if they don't, he's gonna expose them. And so I would agree that Jamel had a great practice.
One thing that I noticed here today was the transition game, getting back up and down at Dalen Coutts. It sells in transition, but the pace of play, you want to play fast, you want to be able to have the possessions. What did you like about today's pace in today's practice?
Yeah, we do want to play fast. Now, we don't want to play stupid, but we want to play fast. And whether it's in the first 5 seconds of the shot clock or the last 5 seconds of the shot clock, our guys know what types of shots we want to get. We want to get rhythm threes. We want to get to the rim. We want to get to the free throw line. And whether that happens right away, by all means, or if it happens late in the shot clock, let's grind it out. But, you know, one thing we don't want to do, and I think today's emphasis was, we're not going to stop it and drop a million plays and sets. Like, you got to figure some things out on the court as well. And we got to just kind of flow where, you know, now we're 8, 9 weeks in, and now we should know kind of how to play when it's not a coach drawing something up. So I thought the pace was really good. And it's funny, like, when you watch the film, if you're good in transition offense, you're probably bad in transition defense or vice versa. So you're always happy and upset at the same time. But I thought the flow was really good today.
You look at it, you mentioned free throw shooting, and for a team that shot 40% from the three-point line last year, struggled a little bit, 66% from the free throw line.
Yep.
What's the emphasis, especially with some of your bigs? Because generally, if you're a spot-up shooting team, you're not going to have the guys that shoot 80, 90% get to the foul line as much as you'd like, but to improve the bigs down there getting to the free throw line and making those shots.
Yeah, I mean, You're right. Starting with the bigs, we need to have our bigs being competent at the free throw line. Now, you know, some guys that are shooting 40-50% in the past, they're not going to get up to 80, but can we get up to 60? And then really, too, it's like, you know, for instance, like a Sam Mastin. Last year, Sam underperformed from the free throw line, and he knows it. We've talked about it, where I think he was probably in the high 60s or maybe low 70s. It's like, Sam, you got to get up to the high 70s or low 80s. So it's not just on the bigs to get their percentages up. It's on those guards, too. But I think for our bigs, I'm certainly watching every time they get fouled and they go to the free throw line, you know, are they converting at a pretty high rate? And so far, so good.
Well, Coach, we definitely look forward to November 25th getting these games rolling. We appreciate you joining us here on the UNC Men's Basketball Preseason Special.
You bet. My pleasure.
All right. There's Jason. Great job by you catching up with Coach Matt. I love hearing the basketballs in the background, man. I mean, just you can just hear people working hard. I love that.
Well, and that was, you know, 15 minutes after practice was done. You still had five,
still
six
going
guys
at it, man,
in the gym working on their shots. And a lot of them are guys that that want to get some playing time. You look at Connor Creech, who's a walk-on guard. He was out there. Roy Grigsby was out there late. They're working together, getting their shots up. So you just love to see that. You know, it's not just the guys at the top of the depth chart trying to get their stuff in. It's guys all the way up and down there that they want to play. They want to get some PT.
How much is that, too? You listen to Steve Smiley there, and I don't know how many of our listeners know him on a personal basis, if they've met him before, but because the reason I even asked that is because he's about the community. He is out and about. He loves building up his program. He loves talking about his program. He loves talking about the community. And he's a hard worker. I mean, he's grinding well before, well after practice. And you just wonder how much of these kids, you know, take on that mindset of their head coach. They see it. They hear it. And they're all about it in practice, too. Well,
I think you're 100% right. If it's something that's visualized,
yeah,
in front of you, and you get that buy-in from your head coach, he wants to pump this program. I mean, he's talked to us many times. Anytime,
oh, yeah,
we want him on our shows, Steve Smiley,
sure,
is available for us to hype up this UNC program, and I love it. I love sitting there. I love talking hoops with him. You know, he's a guy that lives, breathes, and eats it, you know, and it's fun to listen to him talk. It's fun to listen to him at practice. Just kind of get these guys going. I mean, the big stressor on Saturday's practice, at the beginning of practice, was talking about communication, how they need to be loudest. They need to communicate. They need to be better in that aspect. And so, and who knows how the things are going to look when games get going. Are they going to be able to have fans in the stands?
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not. So if you're going to be playing in front of nobody, you're going to have to be able to communicate. You're going to be able to be heard. The coaches are going to know if you're talking or not. And if communication is one of those big things that Coach Smiley's harping on, and you're not talking, guess where there's an open seat next to someone?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty obvious, too, to know who's not talking if there's no fans or not a lot of fans or what have you. I do want to remind folks, too, Jason does a wonderful job every Tuesday. He brings you Inside the Bears Den, which airs Tuesday nights here on 1310 KFKA, 6 to 7 o'clock every single Tuesday. That program, I mean, you're talking all sports. You're breaking into a little bit of everything. Great stories about coaches, great player stories. People just involved with anything UNC athletics.
You're absolutely right. And the nice thing about having been here for 6 years is I do have a lot of contacts, especially on the women's basketball side of things. I've been able to catch up with a few of the alums from there. But we're talking swimming and diving this week, because guess what? They're going to have the first live event on UNC's campus on Thursday.
Wow.
You know, they're going to get back in the pool. They're going to get things going against Colorado Mesa. So we'll have head coach Lisa Ebeling and Maddie Moore on the show. We'll have Michaela Eisenbart, who is primed for big things with Coach Jenny Huth and the women's basketball program here as a junior. And then catch up with one of the all-time greats here, DeSharis Strange, someone that,
yeah,
you know, I spent 5 years around. And, you know, if you want to flip a coin between her and Savannah Smith, you know, I'll take either side of that.
Let's go one-on-one there. Let's see what happens.
Heads, tails, you know, like those two, I think, have really set the bar for this UNC women's basketball program for what they've done. But, I mean, DeSharis was such a fun player to watch. I mean, she's still the all-time leader in steals in the Big Sky Conference, and one of the, I think, 3,000 or 4,000 players in the conference, 1,000 points, 1,000 rebounds. So just great to catch up with DeSharis, and she's doing great things out at Fresno State with Jamie White, who was here at Northern Colorado as well.
Yeah, no, bottom line is there's a lot of great things happening at the University of Northern Colorado. All right, this is more of our focus program toward all things men's basketball. Jason also caught up with Dalen Kuntz, who you heard Coach talk about a little bit. How much can we expect from the CU transfer coming over to play for the University of Northern Colorado? We'll talk about that And we'll start breaking into a little bit of maybe the preseason all-conference team, the previews. We'll look at that. Keep in mind, we'll be talking more about this conference throughout the weeks on this program as well, because there's so much to fit in and only an hour to do it. You are listening to the UNC Bears Men's Basketball Preseason Special presented by First Advantage right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
The time. Don't forget, we'll have NoCo Now coming up with Tanner Schwint, 4 o'clock. Keep you up to speed with everything, good, bad, ugly, happening throughout Northern Colorado. Monday Night Football can be heard here tonight. I don't know if that's going to be a very good game with Tampa Bay and the New York Giants.
Speaking of bad and ugly, the Giants going. They've been a little bit of both all year long, but you know, you lose a consensus top running back in the league, game number 2, it alters your course of your season quite a bit.
It really does, yeah. So we'll be interested. We'll have that game for you here tonight, and who knows, maybe it'll turn out to be an okay program. You talked about this guy quite a bit with Coach Steve Smiley. I'm really intrigued by this storyline. There's a lot of great stories going into the season. Dalen Kuntz, the transfer from CU. Like I said, I talked to Coach Boyle not long ago about him. He talked about a crowded guard, so, you know, a lot of great guards there for CU, and it just didn't make sense. And now Dalen getting another opportunity with the University of Northern Colorado. You caught up with him over the weekend, so we'll jump over to Jason's interview with transfer out of CU, a junior, Dalen Kuntz.
Dalen Kuntz, the transfer from the University of Colorado. And Dalen, welcome into the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me in the program.
Glad to be here. And Dalen, you made the choice to come from the University of Colorado to UNC. How do you feel that you fit in so far with the Bears here through 3 weeks of official practices?
I feel like I'm fitting in pretty good. You know, like I kind of mentioned before and some other stuff I talked about. Like I know Bodie, I know Sam, I know Matt. So, you know, the chemistry was kind of automatically there with them. And then with everybody else, kind of, you know, just getting to know them and getting the feel for everybody.
Well, that was going to be one of my other questions. You did play club ball with Sam and Bodie, and the relationship that you have in the flow. Do you feel like you're back playing club with them and it came back naturally to you?
Yeah, I think we got that back pretty quick. You know, after probably like a week or two of scrimmaging, it kind of came back natural, you know, getting back to playing to each other's strengths and stuff.
You were granted the immediate eligibility. How big of a weight was that to have off your shoulder, knowing that you can come in and play right away and not have to worry about sitting out and that sort of thing?
It was a lot of weight off my shoulders, honestly. At first, for a while, I didn't think it was going to get approved, but you know, I ended up getting approved, and that kind of like, that just, it made everything.
Well, in your experience in the Pac-12, how do you take that and what you learned there at the University of Colorado playing in the Pac-12, and how do you bring that here to UNC and get ready for the Big Sky Conference?
Just kind of, you know, sharing to the team my experiences, you know, what I've been through, you know, who we played against, you know, just kind of, you know, just being a leader, you know, because I played in some pretty big games being in the Pac-12, you know, just kind of bringing that leadership and that toughness to the team.
You look at things here, you finally, basketball as a whole gets to go ahead to start November 25th with games. How nice is it to just kind of be back here in the gym with your teammates, practicing, and looking forward to that first game?
I mean, it's great. You know, for a while, nobody thought we would probably ever play, you know. Everybody thought there wouldn't be no basketball season for the longest. But now, you know, it feels good because everything's coming, you know, a couple weeks away from the season starting. So it feels great, though.
You look at your game, explosiveness, can hit the three. What do you compare yourself to, or who's a guy that you watch at the NBA and try to model your game after?
I say I like De'Aaron Fox. I think we play kind of similar, like explosive in transition, athletic. And I'll probably say I like Kelly Oubre's game. I feel like we play kind of similar. He's a little bit bigger, but I feel like our game style is kind of same.
What's the biggest thing that you spent the offseason working on to try to improve your game here and get ready for this season?
Getting my catch and shoot threes better and just threes overall better. You know, last year at CU, I didn't have the best percentage from three ball, but, you know, I went like this whole summer and all up till now, I've been working on my three, getting a lot more consistent.
Well, we look forward to seeing you get back out on the court. We appreciate you joining us here on the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great interview there with Dalen Coons. Again, folks, if you're just tuning in, this is the UNC Men's Basketball Preseason Special presented by First Advantage. He said a couple of things that stuck out to me. Number one, the connection that he already has with some of the star players on this team, and Matt Johnson, Sam Mastin, and Bodie Hume, with the club ball aspect. We talk about chemistry in basketball all the time. Well, they already kind of have that. And, you know, these guys are dang good. You know, they can pick that up pretty quickly. So I'll be really curious to see how that works.
I think it's already starting to show. And I mentioned the transition game earlier with Coach Smiley and watching Dalen in that. He gets out. He goes quickly, whether the ball's in his hands or if he's on the wing, he gets up court. He's had a couple finishes that they've been pretty impressive. They've got me out of my seat there, and I'm the only one in the gym there getting hyped up.
Well, you're probably pumping the kids up, man. Yeah.
Watching this, it's just like, ooh, okay. Oh, you know, a reverse left-handed flush. I mean, he's a lefty, which North Carolina has, you know, Sam Mastin and Connor Creech and him all left-handers. So even that's just a little bit different on a scouting report. But I think he mentioned, you know, he knows where his deficiencies are in his game as well, and that's what I like to hear from him. He said, hey, I have to work on my catch-and-shoot threes, because if you're going to play in this Northern Colorado lineup, a team that led the Big Sky in three-point shooting, a team that finished 10th in the nation in three-point shooting, you're going to have to knock down open threes.
Yeah, they love to shoot threes. They love to stop three-pointers. I'm very excited about that. He also mentioned the Pac-12 aspect. Whether he was a star at the Pac-12 level or not, the experience is absolutely huge. I mean, how many times do you see basketball players that played, you know, they played okay in their college career, but they just get a shot at the, you know, maybe overseas, even at the NBA level, and then the next 2-3 years, they just start excelling. They become these great players. So that experience is going to bode well for him, but for his team overall. And he talked about that leadership role, and I think that's something when you lose a guy like Jonah Radabaugh, bringing in a Dalen Coons that played in the Pac-12, that's going to help with that leadership.
Well, and especially because you're every day in practice, you're going up against guys that are Pac-12 level players and that may or may not be better than you, you know, and maybe you talk to Tad Boyle and, you know, maybe Dalen got lost in the shuffle a little bit there, but
yeah.
You know, you look at it, the Pac-12 is loaded with NBA guys and talent. And so for him to go every day at the University of Colorado and go against those guys, and then when they get to games, you're playing somebody that maybe even a little bit better, it makes Dalen Coons better. And for him to be able to come to the Big Sky and get this opportunity where he's going to have – I mean, he's going to have to earn it, because, again, I've seen a lot of good players in the time that I've been in practice. There's a lot of good guard depth. He's going to have to earn his stripes as well. And so he is somebody that is going to be fun to watch. I'm intrigued by the – ability, the talent level that you can see there. You can see the athleticism is off the charts already, as I've talked about with some of the finishes that he's had and some of the punches that he's delivered, dunks, excuse me. You know, he's hammered them home. He hasn't punched anybody, but he's hammered them home, you know, and you're like, oh,
yeah,
okay. Like this is going to be fun. And again, the chemistry that he's going to have with Sam and Bodie and Matt and those guys, I don't think it's going to take long for this team to kind of live up to the expectations of what they're going to be expected to do here this year.
Yeah, even with Jonah Radabaugh leaving, even with Jeff Linder leaving, there are still very big expectations around this program, and we'll talk about that finishing up the show. And again, folks, if you miss any portion of this, we will have the podcast available for you at 1310kfka.com. You can check it out. Jason's been going to continue to provide great interviews with coaches and player personnel, so we're excited about that. This is the UNC Bears Men's Preseason Special presented by First Advantage right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
And we are back. Welcome. It's the UNC Men's Basketball Preseason Special. We're going to have plenty of these programs for you leading up to that November 25th key date there. Now, again, on the non-conference schedule, we don't have that in front of us just yet, but we're hoping very. That's kind of why we're stretching these programs out, by the way, Monday to Monday, is so that we have some information that might hit and we can hopefully talk about it on this program.
Well, you'd love to see it, and you and I, we were talking about it off air, but you know, you'd love to see a in-state challenge, you know, some sort of, you know, they have the Cancun challenge, but I'm going to call it the Colorado challenge, and you get all the in-state schools and line it up and tip it off and play. And I look forward to getting, whenever it comes out, it's going to be great and just to be back and get some return to normalcy into everything going. I mean, having high school football has been, I think, great for everybody just to kind of continue it and for the teams that are playing. And Pac-12 gets kicked off, I think, this weekend football-wise. But it's been fun to see, and I'm super excited to get hoops rolling.
So we talked a lot about UNC, and so one of the things we're going to try to provide on this program, too, is connecting with outsiders in the Big Sky Conference. People like yourself last year, Jason, on the outside of the UNC side of things. So we'll get their ideas, how they view their teams, how their, you know, their teams are viewing the University of Northern Colorado, too. So obviously Eastern Washington, UNC at the top of that list, and the Bears just couldn't quite get over that hump against Eastern Washington. Lost to them in a January game, in an overtime game, 89-84, and then, of course, one of the last games we got to witness, at least in this area, was their loss 68-64 on February 29th. So, again, very close games both times around. We were hoping that third time would be a charm in that Big Sky Conference tournament. Jason, from what you've researched so far, what is Eastern Washington going to look like? Is there any reason to believe this team's not going to be right there at the top of things in the Big Sky?
No, they'll be back. They've got the talent. Jacob Davidson, we talked about a little bit earlier, he's going to be the leading scorer in the league coming back. 9 of the top 10 scorers from the Big Sky Conference, gone.
Wow.
So you've got a lot of points that you've got to replace. Davidson averaged just under 19 a game. But then they've got Kim McKinn Jr. as well, and he was second in the league in rebounding. So he's going to be back. So they'll be solid. They're well coached. There's no question about that. Big question is Montana, always solid, has been really, really good. They lose Kendall Manuel. They lose Saeed Pritchett, who've been really, really good players for them for the last 2-3 years. How do they replace them? A team that maybe on the up and coming, and maybe you call me a former homer or whatnot, but I like what Danny Sprinkle's doing at Montana State. You know, he's brought in some guys. He's changed over that roster and finished 5th in the league last year, their first winning season since, you know, 2012, I believe, 2010, somewhere in there. And but he's got a good thing going there here in his second season. So a team to watch. Southern Utah always has guys. Another big question mark on a team who has traditionally been at the top of that league is where Steve Smiley was before coming to Northern Colorado, is Weber State.
They had
a down year last year. They had the leading scorer in the league, Jarek Harding, but he's no longer there. How are they going to rebound? Because Randy Ray's not used to being where he was last year.
Yeah, only like 12 wins or so? I mean, that's rough.
They were down. And so my inkling is they're not going to be down for long. They're going to bring in some guys. A lot of their guys last year were transfers. They were playing together for the first time. So can Weber State get back to where they've been the past few years? And Portland State, a team that plays 94 feet, 40 minutes a game. They lose Holland Woods, who may have been the preseason player of the year had he stayed and elected to continue on with the Vikings. But as mentioned, he's at Arizona State now. So how do they transition without having a guy that can get them 30 on any given night and still continue with the defensive and pressure that they put on you? They're gonna trap. They're going to press. It's not always going to look the same. And they're long, athletic. They make things really, really difficult for teams to get wins, especially if you have to go to Portland, which for Northern Colorado, they don't have to go there this year. So it's going to be nice to get the Vikings here in the friendly confines of Bank of Colorado Arena. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. The league is good. And it's not. It's a matter of time, I think, before this league gets another win in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. I'll be excited to break into it. Would love to learn more about some of these teams we think will be competing straight up with the UNC Bears as far as, you know, the top ranks in the Big Sky Conference. Join us next Monday. Let's take a look. We'll look a little more in depth to the rest of these teams, too. And I obviously want to continue to talk about the Bears. Kuor Jokic, I want to talk about him a little bit. There's some big things expected from this young man.
Oh, no question. And he's a guy that you're going to have to keep your eyes on, and it'll be fun to watch him, and we'll hopefully get in touch with him in the next couple weeks.
Jason, great job as always, man. Can't wait to hear you broadcast the game. Folks, this has been the UNC Bears men's basketball preseason special presented by First Advantage. NoCo Now coming up next, followed by Monday Night Football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.